Wham! Bam! Body slam! You're listening to My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, right here on JitteryMonkey.com. Now here's your host, Kevin Huntsberger.
Hey everyone, this is the post-WrestleMania show on My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, of course a part of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, and I am on location tonight in Salem, Illinois, talking with my good friend Greg Mahochko, who will be joining us. That was Greg. That was Greg Mahochko, the guy who invited me to be a part of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. I am so grateful for that. And he's going to weigh in. He's helping me produce this show, too, because I'm kind of out of my typical element here. But he is going to weigh in a little bit throughout the show. But Chad, also joining us from Parts Unknown, as always. And we were chatting, or I guess texting back and forth throughout the show. Chad, I'm going to start off with this. We're not going to analyze every single match because we'll be here probably until after Raw if we attempt to do that. We'll hit on some big things, but let me first of all, before we even get started, what is your overall letter grade for WrestleMania 31?
Oh, starting off with the hard questions, I would give it probably a C+.
Okay, I was thinking a B or a B minus, so we're not too far apart in our thoughts, but based on some of the texts that we were swapping, I do think we're going to have some interesting discussions going on over the next 60 minutes or so. But obviously, we'll talk a little bit about the pre-show or the kickoff show and the Usos, Los Matadors, Big E, and Kofi Kingston, a part of New Day, and then Cesaro and Tyson Kidd in that fatal four-way for the tag team titles. No big surprise here. I think we both had picked Cesaro and Kidd to win that one.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much a standard tag team match. I don't even remember much about the match, to be honest. So all I remember is them doing the one of the Usos gets injured, and I don't even think if he came back to compete in the match, but I guess it was the way to ride out whichever Uso is injured from the match. But yeah, it was, I mean, I was glad to see Cesaro and Kidd retain. Hopefully now they can actually enter into a actual feud with a tag team that's not the Usos.
Agree. I think that would be a good thing to kind of see the tag team division revamped and you know, kind of kickstarting. WrestleMania a lot of times is a renewal of sorts, although we will probably see a lot of these matches repeated at Extreme Rules coming up next month. But the Battle Royal, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, I got to admit, I was surprised by the outcome. I had picked Sheamus to enter and win this match, and he obviously was not a part of the show. But then the Big Show winning it, to me, was a bit of a surprise. Chad, were you surprised by this?
I was, and to me, this was kind of set the mood for disappointment throughout the show. There was so much potential in this match, and I think they went with the cheapest. I can kind of understand Big Show winning because they kept hyping up the fact that he had never won a Battle Royal, and you kind of put him over, and maybe this is, you know, if he's on his way out, this is a good send off for him. But there's just so much they could have done with Curtis Axel, with Mizdow, with Atomi, however you pronounce it, with a returning Bo Dallas. The ending just left me very uninspired and not looking forward to the rest of the show.
I kind of joked with the group that I was watching it with tonight that I keep saying tonight. Anyway, I had kind of joked about watching it and the lack of a youth movement, and I think that the Battle Royal could have been a good part or a good place to kind of start that youth movement mentality, but, you know, having the Big Show win, you know, well, I guess it is what it is.
And not only that, but having Mizdow finally turn on Miz and break away from Miz and then lose, it's like that should have been more of a build up and, you know, an inertia type push kickoff where he turns, wins the Battle Royal, and then he's got some momentum going into Raw tomorrow. But now it's just, hey, it's Mizdow losing again.
Yeah, and I think that maybe had those two been the final two in there, and then, you know, Ms. Dow wins and kind of restarts his career, if you will, and puts him onto a path to bigger and better things. And speaking of bigger and better things, the ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship, we kind of both joked about this, that we didn't care who won as long as it wasn't R-Truth. And I had picked, on paper, at Greg's WrestleMania party, everybody made predictions, and I had picked Daniel Bryan, and I am proud to say that Daniel Bryan did win. But, you know, really, it was a good match, I thought, and it could have gone just about anywhere, I think, with anybody winning at any particular time. Dolph Ziggler put on a good show as well. And Dean Ambrose, of course, the lunatic fringe, as they like to call him. I like his character, and any one of those three were my first three picks, if you will, to win that. Chad, what were your thoughts?
I'm with you that anybody but R-Truth was fine. I didn't pay as much attention to this match as I should have, just because I was busy with some things going on here at the time. What I saw, it just kind of felt like your standard WrestleMania ladder match, although there weren't as many crazy spots, or at least none that I noticed. My only negative thought on the match is the ending sequence. You know, it's the time that we live in, and I tweeted this on the My123 Twitter account, that with all the concussions that are going on and what we know now about concussions, to see Daniel Bryan and Dolph Ziggler in the match with a series of headbutts, just kind of, I didn't really like that. It just felt wrong to me. But Daniel Bryan is, you know, the new IC champion. Hopefully this is a start of a rejuvenizing push for the IC title. And hopefully he's got a successful long reign out of this.
Yeah.
And I believe Daniel Bryan is the first person since Mr. Wonderful to go from main eventing WrestleMania to opening the next year's show. So, a little trivia. I'm probably wrong, but
yeah. I guess if you don't count when Miz was on the pre-show the year after he main evented WrestleMania, you could be right about that. I think that happened. I don't know. I don't have a computer to look that up to verify, but I agree about your thoughts about Daniel Bryan kind of bringing back, hopefully, some stability to the Intercontinental title. This next match, though, I'm going to read the text that I received from Chad. This may have been probably the most shocking thing I read all night. I can't believe it, but I actually enjoyed a Randy Orton match. So I'm going to let you take the floor on that one and explain, and then I'll weigh in as well.
You know, I wasn't expecting much out of the Orton-Seth Rollins match, because I don't expect anything out of a Randy Orton match. If there's a blander wrestler on the WWE roster, I can't think of him right now, other than maybe Roman Reigns, who we'll talk about later, and my views have changed. But yeah, I thought Orton and Reigns did a really good job with their match. The ending was a clever way to do the RKO out of nowhere, and it wasn't, I think it was short enough that Orton didn't get enough time to bore me, but I think it kind of helped establish Reigns a little more, even with losing, or not Reigns, Rollins with losing, but I was just, this was probably my surprise of the night.
And, you know, for me, and this was the part where you have to take a look at the big picture, not just what has happened, because, I was hoping for a youth movement here. So, to me, I naturally picked Rollins to win this. But, as we'll get to, and fans who are listening already know how the night ends, but, you know, this was just a piece of the puzzle. And, you know, it makes sense the way they're building things up. And, again, as Triple H has said, it's the never-ending story when it comes to telling any kind of wrestling storyline, that this is an ongoing show. And you may not like the results from WrestleMania, you may love those results of WrestleMania, but it's what happens next. And that's kind of what we're going to focus on here too, as we go through and continue talking. And I don't know if I have this next match in the right order or not, but let's talk about AJ Lee and Paige in what I considered a surprise victory over the Bella Twins. I just kind of figured the Bellas would continue to do their bit of domination.
The match was all right. You know, they made the right call with having Paige and AJ win, because now hopefully, you know, AJ will go on to challenge Nikki for the title. But the match was better than most. It actually got time. And I think the fact that they had the musical performance, which I don't understand why the musical performance was there, but it's nice to see Skylar Gray making her third WrestleMania appearance, which is kind of surprising. But because they had a bathroom break type situation scheduled that didn't involve a match, it actually hopefully gave the audience more audience there watching the Divas match instead of heading for the bathroom. And you know, the Divas, if they're given time, WWE is kind of actually going in the direction of Divas being able to put on quality matches. And I think it's going to take a while to recondition the fans, but hopefully it does get to the point where Divas are treated with the same kind of respect as the guys on the roster.
You know, and I totally agree with what you're saying, and this is bad on my part, but you just mentioned Skylar Gray. This is her third WrestleMania. We've been to 8 of the, I guess now, last 9 WrestleManias. We obviously watch these from on the WWE Network. I didn't know who Skylar Gray was, and I still don't know who she is, I guess, which is kind of pathetic on my part. If I've been in attendance, was I not coherent? What was I doing? Was I tweeting during these things, or what?
Tweeting or taking a selfie or something stupid. I know Skylar Gray because I have a friend who's a big fan of her, so I've seen her a couple of times just in local shows. But she was at 28. She, I believe, performed with Machine Gun Kelly when The Rock came out, I want to say. Or whoever. I believe she was at, she performed with Machine Gun Kelly, and then at 29 she performed with P. Diddy. And I actually remember I was in the bathroom when she was performing. That was my bathroom break. But the fact that, yes, she has been there, I guess she does the theme song for WrestleMania this year. But I don't know how big she actually is. I've never heard of her outside of WrestleMania and my friend who is a fan.
That makes sense. And I'm going to put Greg Mahochko on the spot. He is the host of the Nerds United podcast here on the Dirty Monkey Podcasting Network. And he is going to, I want to get his thoughts too, because this kind of seemed to be one of the big matches that everybody was looking forward to, Sting versus Triple H. Greg, first of all, thank you and for all you've done for the show, and welcome to My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
So what were your thoughts, Sting versus Triple H, this WCW versus WWE kind of matchup?
It would have been great if it would have been in 2000, 2001 even. There's been, for me, you know, even as, you know, a guy who watched WCW religiously growing up, you know, then WWE as it became, you know, more in fashion, in style, I think that there was too long of a downtime between the end of WCW to be rehashing the Monday Night Wars of the 90s. It just seemed like it was a little forced, a little contrived.
Totally agree, and I know that Chad has kind of had this opinion as well. Chad, what did you think of the match, and then what did you think of, you know, to me, having the NWO come out and help Sting didn't make sense, because NWO and Sting were never united during any of this, and it was always, you know, the NWO against WCW, against WWE. You know, they were not a group that were supposed to align with, you know, the company's top babyface in Sting.
Well, first off, it's interesting because Sting came out on Raw last Monday and said he wasn't fighting for WCW. He wanted to shut down Triple H, but then Stephanie and Triple H keep bringing up WCW. So right there is bad storytelling right off the bat. No pun intended with Sting. And then, yeah, the NWO, I mean, if it would have been NWO Wolfpack, if that would have came out in the red and black, which that would have made sense because Sting was a part of that version of the NWO. But this just, I'm sure for fans who love nostalgia and can't get over the fact that the Attitude Era ended 15 years ago, 14 years ago, and just want to latch on to that and just be like, attitude, 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 this was probably the greatest night ever for them, seeing DX and the NWO square off. To me, it was, as I had tweeted out, that Sting, even though he was making his WWE debut, was still wrestling a TNA-style match that was overbooked, full of interference, and pointless. It would have made more sense had Goldberg or even if Flair would have came out and then turned on Sting. The
Diamond Dallas
Steiners.
Page, the Steiners.
Yeah,
Yeah, I had
like
suggested.
any of these people, but yeah, having the NWO come out, which is basically just, you know, they're Triple H's friends and Hogan, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense. And then the overbooking of the match just, I became so uninterested in the match because of that. And then to have Sting lose, just that makes no sense to me. Why? And I don't know what Sting is going to do from here, if he's going to, you know, make any more appearances or if this was a one-time deal, but it just, why have Sting come out, make his big debut and lose? I don't get it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then also the fact that, you know, they had showed clips of Kevin Nash getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, and all those guys were, you know, the DX guys and the NWO guys were all cohesive and hanging out too. And I get that it's a story, and I get that it's, you know, whatever, but logical sense making here, it didn't make a whole lot of sense, I think, to most of us that were watching the show, Greg.
If you want to make that WWE versus WCW thing, you really have only one guy who's tried and true WCW. So really, it would have made more sense if Sting stood alone, as he did so many times against the NWO back in the heyday of Monday Nitro. But essentially, you had Hogan, who was WWE made, and you had two members of the Click who got their names, you know, their stardom from WWE. It just, it you know, like Chad said, overbooking seemed really unnecessary and took away from, you know, what is two really good guys in the ring, even though, you know, admittedly they're not, you know, in their prime anymore. They could have told the story a lot of different ways, and I think they chose a poor one.
Yeah, and I mean, even at that, the even though Sting is older, let's say, he could still put on a decent match. Triple H can still put on a decent match. It's not like these guys are hindered by injuries or anything to where you need the outside interference to cover up and hide that they can't still go. So I think the overbooking was unnecessary and just a way to, I guess, play into the WCW versus WWE war and get the two main factions out there. But it was really unnecessary.
Totally agree, but for me, probably the biggest disappointment of the night, in terms of my youth movement mentality, if you
with
will,
Sting losing.
no, not Sting losing. It was John Cena winning the United States Championship, but even more importantly than him winning the championship is ending the undefeated streak of Rusev, and I really wonder where this puts Rusev next now in terms that he has lost to John Cena. He's no longer the United States champion. You know, he's damaged goods now. What happens next for Rusev? I would have liked to have seen him obviously retain, but a lot of people, and you know, I picked Cena to win just because I knew kind of, or I thought I knew exactly where this was going to be headed.
You know, to me, it's. I'll start first with Cena being the U.S. champion. I guess this is a way, and I kind of figured that after he won, that Brock would retain the title, and if Brock wasn't going to be on the show, then you have Daniel Bryan as IC champion, Cena as United States champion, and it's a way to build up both titles. But it's not so much the Rusev loss, which I agree he shouldn't have done. They should have kept him strong, building him up, you know, undefeated, maybe even through next year at WrestleMania, where he could have challenged for the world title. But it's one, the sacrificing him to John Cena, which if you look back at last year's WrestleMania with Bray Wyatt, until Bray decided to call out Undertaker, Bray hadn't done anything over the past year. So I'm kind of skeptical of where the writers will take Rusev next, if they can, because just because he lost doesn't mean that he's damaged goods. They can still do something meaningful with him if they want to. My biggest fear, though, coming out of that match is it looks like they're splitting Rusev and Lana up, and that's going to be more of the focus for Rusev than coming back and building a strong win-loss record or strong having strong feuds. I think they're going to make it more personal on the relationship front, and that I don't really want to see, I guess.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that, and that because they were kind of hinting at that split before. You know, Lana of course agreed to the match with John Cena. This, of course, the loss and how she got bumped off the apron, and it's just going to perpetuate that. And as they say, there's no good to come when a woman gets involved in a wrestling match. Just ask Macho Man Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan when the Mega Powers imploded. But we're going to bring Greg in too for the last couple of matches here, because you did mention Bray Wyatt and his match with John Cena last year. Of course, it was Bray Wyatt this year challenging The Undertaker. And to me, The Undertaker, let's hold on a second. Rewind. Okay. I will get back to Bray Wyatt and The Undertaker in just a second. I want to talk about, I forgot to write down on my notes here, the little interaction with Triple H and Stephanie coming out and announcing the record-setting crowd, which, tremendous. Good job. WrestleMania tends to do that. Levi Stadium got, it was just over 77,000 fans. I didn't write the exact number down, but, you know, that's just a power to, and a testament to WrestleMania. But, of course, the announcement then brings out The Rock, which leads to a lengthy segment. And Chad, we went back and forth on this one on texting. It went long, and I think it went long because they were trying to hopefully get the sun to go down a little faster for The Undertaker's entrance. I'm not sure, but the end result was Ronda Rousey getting involved in the ring. Of course, she is involved in MMA, and really the only current fighter that I know by name, and it was before, of course, she got involved with WrestleMania. I knew who she was before, but anyway, I liked the segment. I thought it was great. It did go a little longer than it probably should have, but to me, it maybe set the groundwork for Triple H and Stephanie versus Rock and Ronda Rousey next year for WrestleMania. I don't know, and I don't know that I necessarily hate that idea.
I'm going to start off just saying I hated this segment mainly because it went way too long for what they accomplished. And it's also, I guess, my personal feeling that, again, Attitude Era over, move on. So when Rock comes out and he and Triple H start going back and forth and be like, you know, we had this great feud, and they tease they're fighting, I'm like, I don't care. I don't want to see you two rehash something that was overdone 15 years ago, 20 years ago. 15 to 18 years ago. Ronda Rousey, there's been rumors, you know, that she wants to come to WWE. If she does, great. Do I want to see her fight Stephanie? No. I'd rather see her in there against full-time, you know, divas. This whole segment to me was nothing but time filler that I would have liked to have seen, you know, another maybe a short match where just some guys who, you know, give Curtis Axel a match, let him do something. This just did nothing for me at all.
And I'm not going to disagree with you on Ronda Rousey getting in there with a quote unquote legitimate diva, but
and also why can a fan jump the ring and or jump the railing and get into the ring even if The Rock pulls her in?
See,
get her out of there.
Yeah, that's where I disagree with you too. I mean, she clearly is a celebrity and not a fan, and I could see if they brought in an actual fan and to get involved. But remember back when Hillbilly Jim got involved, nobody escorted him out when he saved Hulk Hogan from Big John Studd and King Kong Bundy or Ken Patera, whoever it was.
I know. I'm just being bitter.
I get it. Also, another one of the little backstage segments, which I thought was kind of neat until Ricky the Dragon Steamboat butchered Macho Man Randy Savage's saying, but the little bit with all the Intercontinental Champions coming in and congratulating Daniel Bryan, I thought that was classy, and I think it kind of, not that I think Daniel Bryan needed anyone to throw him a bone or lift him up, because he is the real deal as far as I'm concerned. It was a great way to get a bunch of legends onto the show, I thought.
Yeah, was I the only one who forgot that Ric Flair was an IC champion at one point?
I did remember that, actually, because when I first saw him come out, I thought, and then I'm like, yes, he was. I think he beat Carlito for it, maybe?
Yeah, it was about 2004, 2005, I believe. So, but it's just one of those things that, you know, it's kind of like Cena being the U.S. champion now. Flair got the IC title after being champion so many times that you're kind of like, okay, why was he IC champ? But yeah, it was nice to see all the former IC champions there.
I still don't understand Ricky Steamboat's get up though. I don't know why he was dressed like that, and then
well, that's how he shows up every time he shows up backstage.
that may very well be true. Now we teased it a minute ago. Let's talk about Bray Wyatt versus The Undertaker. I thought personally Undertaker looked phenomenal compared to how he looked last year at WrestleMania, and considering how he looked after the match against Brock Lesnar last year. You know, clearly he's been in the gym and, you know, he's done some things to alter his appearance and kind of maintain a youthful look. But that being said, and I want to get Greg's opinion too, because I feel like my thoughts as I was watching the match, I kind of changed, because I said, you know, Bray Wyatt losing will hurt him because it's another step back. He went in there against John Cena last year. He lost. He kind of got lost in the shuffle. This year, he's in there against The Undertaker, and he's lost again. I don't know where this is going to take him, where this leads him next. My thoughts as I was watching the match, though, was, does The Undertaker now become, if he loses, does he become the old guy who doesn't know when to give it up, and he just keeps coming back and tarnishing that legacy? Because at the end of the day, you know, The Undertaker's streak started, his WrestleMania career started in 1991, 24 years ago. He's only missed two WrestleManias since then. To me, that's phenomenal, and I'm not saying that he needs to win every year, because Shawn Michaels, technically speaking, has the worst WrestleMania streak if you look at wins and losses, and I know percentages and whatnot, but anyway, he's lost more WrestleManias than he's won. But does that take away from his legacy? Of course not. But The Undertaker's streak is kind of what has defined him over the last probably decade or so. You know, I don't know that having him lose again to Bray Wyatt would be good for his legacy, but then again, I look at Bray Wyatt's immediate future. What does that hold? And I'm going to get Greg to weigh in first. Greg, I think you were a little disappointed when Undertaker won, or am I? There were so many guys there cheering and chanting. I can't remember who was upset when Bray lost.
I was one of those guys who was pulling for Bray. And if anybody who knows my track record of wrestling fandom, I've been an Undertaker guy, you know, for about as long as The Undertaker's been around. And I don't know, after last year, I felt like this match would have been better had it, you know, if Undertaker was to lose to Bray, I think it should have been last year. I also think that when Undertaker beat Triple H the second time, and he and H and Shawn Michaels all, you know, carried each other back, you know, and they called it the end of an era, it should have been the end of a career. So I respect and have that, you know, admiration or adoration or whatever you want to call it for Taker, but I feel like, you know, he's a guy who can pretty much tell Vince exactly what he wants to do, and sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. In this case, I think the last couple of years were a bit more damaging in the fact that he could have gone out undefeated. You know, he could have had that end of an era and you know, kind of closed the door definitively on the Attitude Era after that match, and he hung around a little bit, I fully believe that Taker was a guy who said, you know what, if I'm going to lose a streak, I'm going to do it my way, and it's going to happen to Brock Lesnar. And I don't have as much of a problem with that. But if you're going to, you know, have a character like Bray Wyatt who says he's the new face of fear and put him up against The Undertaker, if you're going to end the streak, you got to do it that way, to Bray Wyatt, in a pass the torch kind of way. So I was pulling for Bray in this one. I enjoyed the match. And, you know, there was a picture circulating last fall of somebody, you know, a fan taking a picture of The Undertaker, and he looked older and I don't want to say withered, but, you know, gray and things like that. He definitely got the Kevin Nash Diesel just for men hair coloring. He hit the gym. I thought he looked in tremendous shape. And you know, for my money, for my $9.99, they put on an enjoyable match. I wish that the outcome would have been the other way.
Yeah, I'm going to pretty much probably agree with everything Greg just said and stuff that Kevin said in his intro. For me, Taker should have retired probably 3-4 years ago. And that's mainly coming from the fact that once they started hyping up the streak, all of his matches just became so redundant to me. And I really was not looking forward to this match because, as we said in the pre-Mania podcast, in my opinion, this was a lose-lose situation. If Taker wins, then Wyatt loses another match at WrestleMania and flounders some more. If Wyatt wins, then Taker loses two matches in back-to-back years and kind of does that devalue the streak. So they put on a much better match than I was expecting, and Undertaker looked like he spent the last year really getting into shape. But yeah, it's like, where does Bray go from here, and how many more times is Taker going to come back for his one match a year? I expect, with WrestleMania being in Dallas next year, speculation is that will be Taker's retirement match. I would even go one step further and say, don't even have Taker on the show, just have him inducted into the Hall of Fame next year as his retirement. But the match exceeded expectations, but the outcome, there was no outcome really that I think would be beneficial going forward. But that being said, I do think Bray should have won and taken the mantle from Taker, since he's going to be the one that's going to be around longer.
Yeah, some good points there, and we'll kind of keep an eye and see where this is going to go for both men down the road. Now, on to the main event, the WWE World Heavyweight title match. It was Brock Lesnar, the defending reigning champion, with Paul Heyman in his corner, against Roman Reigns, the winner of the 2015 Royal Rumble matchup. And Chad, why don't you give me your thoughts, because we had kind of gone back and forth on this one too, and I think we might disagree with how things went down.
Well, first off, you know, you had texted me a few times throughout the show about the network freezing or having network issues. My feed for the show was fine all the way up until the main event, and then my feed on the PlayStation 3 froze up. I had to reset the system. I don't think I missed anything too major, but it was just frustrating that was the time things started to act up. I think this was a very well laid out match. They had me on the edge of my seat, where I honestly thought Roman Reigns was going to win. And I have to say that in the last few minutes of the match, I became okay with Reigns winning. I think he did a much better job than I was anticipating. He actually, you know, they strung together a match that wasn't just based on his three moves of doom. And when he started hitting the Superman punches, I you know, there's that bit of like, oh my gosh, he's actually going to do this. And Brock, you know, Brock just goes out there, and I still don't know if Brock is a great actor and can just make his stuff look so menacing without it actually hurting people, or if he just doesn't care and he's like, I'm going to throw you around, I'm going to punch you in the face, and you're just going to have to accept it. But yeah, they did the match. I thought was going well, and then the ending happened, and I'll stop right there. I'll get your thoughts on the match leading up to that point, and then I'll come back and finish my thoughts.
Sure. Well, I thought the match it exceeded my expectations as well. There was a moment there that I thought it was over before it even started, when Lesnar hit the F5 right pretty much off the bat. I thought they were going to make it a quick night and then perhaps do some sort of something with Seth Rollins cashing in. When Brock got busted open, and then that was the obviously the turning point that it really I did think, oh my gosh, you know, Roman Reigns is going to win. And I was not opposed to Roman Reigns winning. I had picked Brock Lesnar to win, but I would not have been opposed to a Roman Reigns victory. Greg, what did you think of the action up until the very ending?
Much in line with everybody else, I kind of thought that it was going to be a one-sided affair. And you know, you kind of got that feeling as Reigns was, you know, starting to no sell, or you know, as he'd take a suplex or something like that, he's grinning and laughing it off, and you know, he got smacked, and he's, you know, hit me again, and you kind of got he got the crazy eyes a little bit. They start to you know, take they end up outside, you know, Brock's thinking one thing. He says, you know, I'm gonna put Reigns into the post. It's gonna be over. Obviously, Roman reversed that. Then he started, you know, set him, and we had the big, you know, argument at the viewing at the house. He was getting all these Superman punches in, but he hadn't, you know, shotgun cocked his forearm, and he finally does that. And one of the guys who was really pulling for Brock, he says, "Oh, now he does it. That's pointless." You know, I said, "Well, this is the one. You know, this is going to be the Superman punch that ends it." And of course, it wasn't. But it started out very reminiscent of Brock versus Cena at SummerSlam. You know, very one sided, and two. Creatives credit or talent credit, they turned it into a you know, what could have been a steaming pile of a match. They turned it into something I thought was really special. You know, as Chad mentioned about the Taker Wyatt match, it exceeded expectations, because you know kind of what you're getting with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. I think, even though he's been in the company, you know, he's still kind of green a little bit. So as far as headlining, you know, WrestleMania, it exceeded expectations. The action was better than I thought it'd be, and then something happened.
What? Let's just put that out there, Greg. What did you think of the cash in then from Seth Rollins, and of course the eventual victory for him?
Well, that was the thing too, is cashing in on a match that I'm not sure that I've ever seen it cashed in on a match that's still going on. So I thought, you know, does he, you know, for lack of better terms, eliminate, you know, Roman Reigns? And then, of course, they announce it becomes a triple threat match. I thought it was beautifully played, and Rollins, you know, he played his part to perfection. He kind of, you know, stood back when he needed to and let some of the other punishment be dealt. And when he saw that opening, you know, he was able to capture the gold. And for him, of the three guys from S.H.I.E.L.D., I always thought that he'd be the first to capture the gold, and turned out to be right. He's more of a complete package than Roman Reigns, so as far as the finish goes, I don't have a problem with it.
I really don't either, and I thought that it was genius, because it's never been done before. We had never seen something like that happen, where, number one, that a cash-in happens at a WrestleMania, but number two, that it happens during the match, where the person cashing in becomes the third participant. Plus, Brock Lesnar still looks like a badass. He didn't lose the championship by his own fault. So it it definitely makes things intriguing, and it will make them interesting. And, you know, you've got Randy Orton still out there who now holds a victory over Seth Rollins earlier in the night. You've got Roman Reigns who is going to obviously want revenge from what happened to him. And you've got Brock Lesnar who, you know, didn't lose the championship, plus Daniel Bryan as your new Intercontinental Champion who never technically lost. And John Cena is the United States Champion. You have five top contenders now all kind of rolled up, and it'll be interesting to see who steps up first, what happens next. But Chad, I think this is where we disagree.
Yeah, I mean, it's all a technicality disagreement. I am fine with Rollins cashing in and becoming champion. I am not fine with it happening during a match. To me, it doesn't make sense that you can cash in while a match is in place. And so that's my bone of contention with the scenario. I am fine with Rollins being champion. I think it's the best way to get the title off of Lesnar without him being pinned. And there was a moment there where it kind of looked, maybe it's because of stuff I've been reading online over the past week, but I actually thought that maybe Rollins was going to help Reigns win the title, and that's why he was cashing in. And then like you said, I mean, it opens up a lot of possibilities for going forward. The cash in during a match in progress really kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Now we're gonna start kind of wrapping things up. Chad, you gave the show a C+. Greg, what would your letter grade be for WrestleMania?
Up and down the card, you know, including if you want to include the pre-show matches. I don't know. I'd probably go somewhere around C+, B-. It passed, but it certainly could have been a lot better. Kevin, I was disappointed that there wasn't more of a push for some of the younger guys, particularly, you know, Rusev and Bray Wyatt, which we've talked about, and in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I think my pick was Curtis Axel because I felt that he still has been denied, and they kind of all ganged up on him. So that's one I didn't think Big Show needed the push, but maybe that's the push that helps him get out the door. I don't know.
And before you leave here, I want to know what was, because every year there's always at least one quote-unquote WrestleMania moment. For you as a fan watching, what was your WrestleMania moment? And Chad, be ready because you're next.
I think WrestleMania moment-wise, I'm going to rule out anything that included Triple H. Because, and you guys discussed it, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but it's not 1998, so all that stuff didn't need to happen, or if it did, should have happened 17 years ago. I would have to say probably cashing in the Money in the Bank. I felt like, you know, from the beginning of the show at 6 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Central, when the pre-show kicked off till the end, in that five-hour span, the one that got the most people talking wasn't Ronda Rousey, but it's going to be cashing in. So that would be my WrestleMania moment. And it's a shame because that ladder match could have had, you know, so many. There was a lot of talent on there. It could have been in there. But I'm going with cashing in the Money in the Bank.
Chad, what was your WrestleMania moment?
I'm going to have to go with Orton's RKO out of nowhere. That I think is what's going to make highlight videos. You know, the cash in was unexpected and shocking, but the Money in the Bank cash in is also kind of a, you know, you get one every year. It's not that unique. Whereas a curb stomp push into an RKO, that very clever ending. And I, you know, just to reiterate my thoughts on the show, kind of backing up what Greg said, it's the action on the show. I don't think there was really a bad match per se, other than Sting Triple H with all the interference. But I thought every match was at least entertaining action wise. It's just all the outcomes make you wonder when is WWE actually going to get behind some fresh talent and kind of elevate them more instead of waiting until they have to, kind of like what they did, you know, when Hogan and Savage left and they had to push Bret and Shawn when the Attitude Era happened and they had to kind of push Stone Cold and Triple H. It's instead of waiting to that last minute, start now of grooming guys up and pushing them. And I know that, yes, Seth Rollins is your champion, so what I'm saying is kind of contradictory, but it's time, you know, seen both. This was Randy Orton's 12th WrestleMania. John Cena made his WrestleMania debut at WrestleMania 19, so his 12th, 13th as well.
He actually made his debut at 20 as well.
What's that?
He made his debut at 20 as well. They're both tied, John Cena and Randy Orton.
Well, he had a rap battle against a cardboard Jay-Z at 19. But I guess I was on Heat, so I guess technically, yes, you can. But, you know, it's not like you have to push these guys out the door and wish them well, but it needs to be the changing of the guards. So, and just realize that the Attitude Era is over. Get over it.
When you put over Randy Orton as your WrestleMania moment, I made the same face the Undertaker made when Bray Wyatt kicked out of the Tombstone Piledriver, and Greg's here to vouch for it. He's laughing the whole time because I'm muting us as you're talking, but I did not expect that. So that was a compliment out of nowhere as the RKO out of nowhere. For me, I think it's pretty obvious what my views are. The cash in with Rollins, the way it went down, I enjoyed it. So I agree with everything else you said, though, Chad, about the youth movement. It is a good sign that Seth Rollins is the champion, and Daniel Bryan, of course, is the Intercontinental champion. I like Cesaro and Tyson Kidd as the tag champions. We got to do something about John Cena and that United States title. I'm only hoping that we don't merge the IC and US championships, because we all know where that's going to head up as well. Greg's got something else here.
Out of curiosity, your guys' take, Daniel Bryan, as we know now, is the IC champ. Has he been around long enough that he no longer factors into the youth movement, or is he still part of that? Because, I mean, despite his veteran status, he's hasn't been around a whole lot of time.
I would vote that he is still definitely a part of the youth movement.
Just because he hasn't been in WWE that long. I mean, he's been wrestling on the indie scenes for well over a decade, but his time in WWE, I would put him more in the youth movement category.
Yeah, totally agree. You know, because Randy Orton's still a young guy. He's 34, 35 years old, but he's been around, as we just mentioned, since 2002 or three. So, Chad, do you have any other last-minute thoughts? We're going to kind of wind things down here.
You know, as we have alluded to and mentioned on social media, this was our first year in 8 years not being there. With the show over, I'm not as disappointed that we didn't go, because other than seeing the WrestleMania cash-in, there really wasn't anything on this show that I'm like, oh man, I really would have liked to have seen that. I'm looking forward to next year. We're already starting a Kickstarter fund to raise funds to go to WrestleMania 32, or WrestleMania Star, as I guess the logo is going to dictate it be called. I'm curious to see what happens on Raw tomorrow night, and you know, hopefully this next year can actually be a decent year for WWE.
I agree. This is the first time because I don't go back and watch them, the ones that we've been to. I'm going to do that, but it was nice watching from home, not my home, but hanging out with Greg Mahochko, who up until today we'd never met. So I appreciate you inviting me into your home and getting the chance to watch WrestleMania.
Why is your hand on my leg? No, it was great. I'm glad you were able to come up. As I kept inviting people, and people said, yeah, sounds great, I'm there, I'm like, wait a minute, my living room's not this big. So luckily was able to acquire some folding chairs, and none of them got broken over anybody's skulls or backs, so they'll all be returned in peace. But yeah, we had good food. Thanks for the Lucha Mask cookies.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Chad, have you been privy to the Lucha Mask cookies?
I have not. Every time I come into Kevin's, he tries to give me something healthy to eat, and I don't know why. But I was going to say, did you sell anybody a car during WrestleMania?
Well, it's funny you say that because a friend of mine that I've known for years, his girlfriend, he actually sent her up to the dealership on Friday to test drive a vehicle, and she was there tonight, and we didn't discuss it, but, you know, when I serve somebody up some of my famous buffalo chicken dip, they better buy a car. That's not just for anybody.
I was going to say, if you got a house full of people, it's time to start selling, you know, ABC, always be closing.
And, see, two of the people have already bought from me that were in the house tonight, so that's not too bad. Two out of nine, and of course, I don't count, and my wife bought a car, you know, we just bought a car last year, so you can eliminate four or five out of the nine people. That's not too bad odds.
No, that's good. Okay.
All righty, well, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up and say goodnight, and thanks for listening. I think Greg's got something else. Hold on 1 second.
Hey, I just want to remind everybody that if you are a wrestling fan, and if you're in the Carbondale, Cape Girardeau, Paducah area, the Cape Comic-Con coming to the Osage Center April 17th, 18th, 19th, where beautiful Bobby Eaton will be there. And I know you're going to be talking with the organizer, Ken Murphy, in an upcoming episode to talk about the connection that wrestling has had with the Cape Comic-Con over the last couple of years. And we'll be seeing you down in Cape Girardeau in a couple weeks.
That's right. Ken Murphy will join us next week on the My 123 Cents podcast. Looking forward to that. And also, I have secured an interview with beautiful Bobby Eaton, of course, one half of the Midnight Express, or one third of the Midnight Express, with Jim Cornette and Sweet Stan Lane, or Dennis Condrey. And I can't remember what Dennis Condrey's gimmicked name was. Chad, do you remember what it was?
I want to say Playboy or Dynamite.
Loverboy, I think it was.
There you go.
So, for Loverboy Chad Smith and for gorgeous Greg Mahochko, I am kinky Kevin Huntsberger with the...
Kevin, you just called me Chad Smith.
Did I?
Yes, I am not the drummer for the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I didn't know that either. It's been a long day, a long weekend for Chad Smart.
Very good.
Charismatic Chad Smart.
Very
gorgeous Greg Mahochko. I'm kinky Kevin Huntsberger. This is My 123 Cents. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.